Just as in the first week of Lent, we always hear about the temptations of the Lord, the second week we always hear about the Transfiguration. And there's a particular reason for that, which we'll come back to in a few moments. St. Paul said this morning that some people make themselves enemies of the cross. Bishop Kemi has written a letter to all of the dioceses that you'll get either by email or it'll be in the Catholic Advance, drawing our attention to the need for prayer and sacrifice, because at the end of this month, the Satanists are going to do mock worship in Topeka at the very steps of the Capitol. And so, of course, the bishop and the other bishops of Kansas, they're doing everything they can to stop it. They're using the Oklahoma bishops had to put up with this about 10 years ago. But he's calling all of us across the diocese to fast and to pray and to write our elected representatives to protest this awful event. I was speaking with someone who said, in a certain way, it's like a backhanded compliment, if you will, because when the Satanists get together, the thing that they mock is the Catholic Mass. They don't do Jewish sacrifices. They don't do any other religion, but they mock the Catholic Mass. And that's something that we should take very seriously. Sometimes there are people who think that all the things about the devil are all made up. It's just some fairy tale or bad tale, if you will. But if you're a reader of the scriptures, you know that the devil is real. And if you read the Gospels particularly, what you find out time and time again is they recognize in a certain way who Jesus is. Last week, the temptations were all about drawing out, is this really the Son of God? Because they knew he came from God. There's a different line in St. Paul where he says, if they had known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory, because the devil cannot think with charity. He can't think with humility, and so he has no understanding that God, in Jesus Christ, would go to the nth degree to redeem his people. And if you think about him and his other fallen angels, everything they do is to destroy, because they know they cannot win. Because the cross is the definitive victory over Satan and his reign. It doesn't mean that they give up. So what does that mean for us? Well, obviously, it does mean that we have to pray and do penance. And we have to take our Catholic faith seriously. You know, one of the things that Satanists do is they steal a consecrated host. In fact, in Oklahoma, back in about 10 years ago, the bishops were able to legally, if they were going to go through with this, they would be able to arrest them for stealing a host from a Catholic church. They take very seriously that Christ is present in the Eucharist. We should take it more serious. We should have a profound reverence for the Lord in his precious body and blood. One of the things that Bishop Jakels had mentioned to us many years ago, it used to be when communion in the hand was first a thing, that people would receive the host and then they'd step aside. And in light of what happened in Oklahoma, and I think now with our own situation in Kansas, we need to do what Bishop Jakels said, which is if you do receive communion in the hand, you receive in front of the person who gave it to you. Do not step aside, do not walk away, because we have to be vigilant. And so receive the host in front of the person who gave it to you. And then pray for a deeper love for Christ in the Eucharist. That's important. We have a temptation as Catholics, all across the world, Catholics have a temptation to just go through the motions. We know that in a few minutes we're going to stand up and I'll say, I believe, and we'll all join in the creed. And our hearts and minds can be miles away from what we're doing. When it's time to receive communion and it's my pew's turn, I jump up, I walk out, and my heart and my mind can be anywhere but here. And we have to fight that. We have to be reverent in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And then we also have to be vigilant. You know, just Friday night into Saturday morning, I'm not sure exactly when, the parish of St. Patrick's on the west side of town, kind of our mirror image, if you will, from Blessed Sacrament, was broken into by Satanists. They destroyed statues, they destroyed candlesticks, they painted graffiti or spray-painted graffiti on their pews. They broke their hand, they broke a glass, and then put blood on the holy water fonts. Not just like they lost a drop of blood, but you could see it was definitely a planned idea. And so we have to be vigilant for our own parish, which we will be. We have people who come every night to make sure the church is locked at an appropriate time. But we always have to be vigilant against any evil. And then the final thing is never do anything that has anything to do with the devil. Do not do tarot cards. Do not do palm readers. Do not do anything that is in any way open to the devil. These are not harmless things. I don't know how the people did it. I think it's Parker Brothers, but somehow 100 years ago, they came up with Ouija boards. Those are from the devil. And a Catholic should not use them, ever. And make sure you're protecting your children from these things as well. And then finally, we have to remember this. The darkness cannot overcome the light. We live in a dark world. But it doesn't matter what people do, they cannot put out the light of Christ. We're preparing just 5 weeks away from Easter, and that Easter candle soon will be right here, 5 feet of it on the beginning of Easter, and that light of Christ cannot be put out. The darkness, St. John tells us, cannot overcome the light. And that same light is in you and me by our baptism. And so sometimes things are discouraging, and sometimes it seems like maybe the devil's even winning, but he absolutely is not. Every soul in a state of grace is a victory. St. Thomas has a beautiful commentary on being in a state of grace. He said, "One soul in the state of grace surpasses the glory of all creation." And so we have to be confident in Christ. And we should be. And then finally, to go back to the gospel. This reading is always the reading, as I mentioned, for the second week. And St. Leo the Great, when he writes about this, he said this was a planned purpose. The transfiguration was planned for Jesus did it so that James and John and Peter would be strengthened to go through the crucifixion. They were going to see the Lord be arrested. They were going to see his agony in the garden, then they were going to watch him get arrested, and then they were going to see him get crucified, even if for two of them it was from quite a distance. And so the transfiguration was a gift to these three apostles to remind them that even in the darkest day in the history of the world, Good Friday, the darkness could not overcome the light, that there would be resurrection. And the reason the church puts this on the second Sunday of Lent is to remind us of the same thing, certainly on a global and on a large scale, if you will, but also individually. There are a lot of crosses that people carry, and sometimes it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But we profess a faith in Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And even if I have to carry that cross all the way to my own death, there is resurrection, and there is light, and there is victory.